And we're here again on the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WGI Radio, Mike O'Hara, DetroitLions.com, as we talk NFL football, specifically Lions. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Ken Brown. I need a little help before we get going.
Yes.
Was the Super Bowl just a couple of days ago or a couple of weeks ago or a month ago?
Yes, it was days ago, but yes.
It just seemed like forever.
Yes.
It was over forever ago because the National Football League just moves on to the next, you know, next crisis, whatever that is.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because it's amazing to me, and I'm a child of the 70s. You know, I was born in the late 60s, but child of the 70s, that baseball was such a big thing. This February would be looking at rosters of spring training, Lakeland, Florida, you know, Tigers getting ready for the big season in baseball. But you're right, man. After the Super Bowl is over, the next day is talking about the next season. I mean, they've already started. There's no break now in NFL, and that is not the way it was when I was coming up.
No, it's like they need a 13th month just to pack all that stuff in. We're talking about contracts. We're talking about trades. We're talking about, you know, Derek Carr gets released rather than get paid $40 million, and it's never ending with the National Football League. I'm not saying it's a bad thing or a good thing or whatever, but it's just the stuff just flies by.
I think in the long run it's going to be a bad thing, but for right now, since the NFL is red hot, you just ride with it. But you can't burn red hot 24-hour days, you know, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You just can't do it. And eventually the NFL is going to have to put the brakes on somewhere. And I'm talking about financially and, you know, just being out in the media with it. It can't continue to burn that hot. But while it's hot, I guess you run with it because the ratings were, what, the third highest all-time game ever. The halftime show was bigger than the game, you know, attendance-wise. So they got it going right now. So, you know, let's ride the wave with them, Mike.
I think they've overdone it a little bit in the sponsorships and the backings and all that, and the money raising and all that. I think they've overdone it a little bit, but it doesn't seem to affect the fans, doesn't seem to affect the product in a negative way, and certainly doesn't affect the interest level, as you just said. It was the third highest watched television show in the history of television.
Yeah, they're bringing it in right now. And to me, I let the 17th game go. But I think you're at that saturation point, too, with that. And I know they're going to want to add that 18th game. But the season is kind of perfect. 16 games to me is perfect. But 17, all right, we'll let that go. But it's just enough season to be long, few enough games to want more. And this, it's right where it is now is where it should stay.
Yeah, I think we found out, Kenny, that this is the second year that they've had the 17th game. I think we found out that it's not really a big deal. They could go back to 16, they could go to 17, no big deal. I think the jump to 18 would be a bigger deal, but 17 didn't seem to make any negative impact that I can tell. Now, look, guys get hurt, but they don't all get hurt in the 17th game. They get hurt on opening day, they get hurt in the preseason, they get hurt in practice, they get hurt in training camp, they get hurt in those OTAs. We've seen all of that, and I don't think you can pin it on the 17th game. And it certainly, if you look at the Lions-Packers game in the last game of the season, it certainly doesn't hurt the product playing a 17th game.
No, but in fairness, I have noticed that, and I was looking at this over the last year, that they don't practice much anymore at the end of the season, like they didn't before, but they did do more than they're doing now. They're pretty much stringing you those last games where you're just playing a game and then you're rehabbing for the week or getting your muscles back right, going through some walkthroughs and then playing the next week. So you can see where you've really strung out the human body to that 17th game. And that's where it is. You may not affect the bottom line because they get them playing, but at what level are they playing and, you know, how you get them to play that game? Because like you said, the Lions the last couple of weeks, remember they ran out of padded practices. I think they had that one.
Right.
And then that was it. But the last couple of weeks, it was walkthrough Wednesday. We're going to, you know, just walk through on Thursday or whatever. And, well, you know, we'll play on Saturday and Sunday or we'll do whatever. So you can tell that the bodies are getting to that limit.
Well, but the last padded practice was for week 16, game 15. and they beat the Jacksonville Jaguars 40-10.
Right.
That was their last padded practice. And really, that was to sort of wake them up. It wasn't for any other reason, really. It wasn't, they weren't teaching, you know, but they was to, you know, they told the players, you know, that they were going to have a padded practice and they were going to work hard. And they
right.
did.
But just one point practice. That you get that number for the year, the league is pretty much saying, we know where your body's limits are, and we're just going to make sure that you don't get over pushed because we need you to be active for these 17 games. That's what I'm saying. Adding the 18th to me is when you're really pushing it. But, you know, money talks, and I just hope.
Here's the other thing, though, Kenny. If it's the 17th game and you make the playoffs, you can't wait to play game 18, 19, and 20.
No, there'll be some teams doing it.
But you can't wait.
Right. There'll be some teams doing it. But, okay, then I forget it. This can go on ever because then I'll say, okay, they played 18, but then 19, 20, and 21 are your playoffs, so you're playing 20. Then next thing you know, well, you know, the 25th game is no worse than the 21st game, so this is like going forever. But you know, and time-wise, too, I was not – the second week of February for a Super Bowl is too long for me. You know, I was looking at some of – they always have these things that come up on your Twitter page where this happened on this date back then. And they're like January dates that come up. And then this Super Bowl was played on this day. And that was like during the second round of the playoffs now. And then this game in 1971 was played on this day. And it's January 14th. And that was, you know, so they've really extended it another month. And that's about as far as you can go with it.
Well, I think where it is right now is okay. And one other thing, the fact that the season ends – you know, in the middle of the second week in February, what else is there to do in Detroit in the middle of February except watch, you know, watch television, watch playoff games, watch television, whatever.
Yeah.
The way it is.
Yeah. All right, well, whatever. Now that we've decided we've solved the NFL's problem that they didn't have, we can move on to what happened. This is the first one we've had since the game itself. Thought it was an entertaining game. I'm not even getting into that last call. If you got on this podcast and see me crying about a call that was actually a call and you mad because they made it at the time you didn't want to make it, then you go listen to some other talk radio show because I'm not getting into your stupidity. It was a call. They made it. Move on. If you were mad about it and you thought you lost the game about it, as I used to say and my coach used to always tell, score more points. Okay, that's then it would have been close. That's all I got to say about it.
Well, can I just add two things to it? I think that, and I guess I am. I had no problem with it either. I want the referees to call the rules. That's what don't make up the rules as you're going along. Whatever the rule is, call the rule. But the thing about it is, the National Football League and the Super Bowl, it's not complete unless you have you want a good ending and all that. They got that. You want a controversial call from the officials so you can talk about it for 3 months. They got that. And then you want everybody to try and determine if the halftime act presentation, if they lip synced it or sang it live. And that's to me, those are the three things you want. We hear every single year. Was she lip syncing or was she live? I hate that. I hate it.
Yeah. And plus, people just complain because they're not happy and anything. You're going to complain about anything. If you go back in the history of this league, there's been some of the most egregious calls ever made before.
Absolutely.
Before instant replay or whatever. And you know what? Everybody moved on from it. And there's going to be bad calls in the future, too. And that's just the way it is. We're human beings. We're not perfect. You got to play over them sometime. And sometime, maybe once every 20 years or whatever, a call's going to keep you from winning a title. Okay, but that's just, we're human. These things happen. This betting, to me, is why all of this, to me, becomes such high profile now, because there's money on the line. But, hey, too bad. That's what you get. When you gamble, sometimes it happens. So this is, to me, why people are really complaining about this.
Well, I think you probably remember, like I do, what Jim Caldwell once said when everybody was in an uproar over a call that went against the Lions. And Caldwell said, and people remember, he was the head coach here for 4 years. He said, players make the most mistakes, coaches make the second most mistakes, referees make the fewest mistakes. Good enough for me.
That's right. That's right. Now, a couple of things I do want to talk about out of the Super Bowl that refer to the Lions going forward. And one of them is quarterback play, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, compared to what we got here in Detroit. Number two is offense versus defense compared to seeing offensive teams and how you will combat them, because face it, if you're going anywhere, you're going to have to get past Philadelphia. Now, it's like they're the cream of the NFC crop. So how do you compare to them, and what do you need to beat them? And number three, coming up with this draft, does that change your draft philosophy going in on what you actually need as a team? So I'll let you go from there, Mike. I'll start with the quarterback, then we'll go from there. I just think that Goff is good enough to win. I don't know if he's good enough to win a Super Bowl, but I'd like to see a quarterback with some legs be your backup. And that Super Bowl convinced me that you got to draft one.
Well, my point is, my stance on this is that I think Jared Goff is good enough to win with. I understand what you say about having a mobile backup quarterback, because I agree with that. But on the other hand, I know a quarterback who lacked mobility to the nth degree did pretty well, and that was Tom Brady. So there's more than one ways to get it done, and I think that Jared Goff, and we'll see if he can go the distance. You know, we'll find out. But I think he certainly played awfully well for the Detroit Lions in this season. And I think to me, if I'm going to draft a quarterback, it's going to be like, you know, third, fourth round, somebody to develop as a backup, as a legitimate good backup quarterback, you know, and then go from there. But I don't see that as a primary issue for the Detroit Lions in terms of their starting quarterback. But it absolutely is in terms of their backup, because they haven't had one since Dan Orlovsky really was the last representative backup quarterback they had.
Okay. And in reference to offense defense, I think draft-wise coming up and free agency-wise coming up, I don't have a problem with taking that sixth pick for a defensive player. I don't have a problem with spending a majority of your free agent money on defensive players. But seeing these offenses, Mike, I think if I could tune my offense up, they finished fifth in the league this year. If I could get a player or two that will take me up to second in the league and just give me an offense that's almost unstoppable, as unstoppable can be in the NFL, but give me a supreme offense, I have no problem with it with this draft. I know they need defense bad, but if you can tune that offense up to be the best one in the league, I say go for it.
Well, you know, Kenny, look, how many times did the Chiefs punt in the second half?
Right.
None.
Right.
Yeah. You know, look, I still believe to some degree that defense wins championships. But I would modify that. I think defense helps win championships. You've got to be good. You've got to have athletes on both sides of the ball. I don't think just good is good enough anymore in the way they play the game of pro football. Now, it's different. And you've got to be able to score, and you got to be able to defensively. You've got to be able to stop rallies. Offensively, you've got to be able to move the ball and get your. You know, you can't leave your defense out to dry anymore. You've got to be able to move that ball. And so, in other words, look exactly what the Chiefs did going into the second half. They were down 24-14,
right?
And kaboom, the afterburners come on, and they absolutely, you know, torch what was supposed to be the best defensive team in the National Football League, and just absolutely burned them.
Yeah. But my thinking on this defense, too, is players, to me, are your defense. Special players making big plays. Because if you're just going to scheme a defense up and think you're just going to plug in spots and you're going to take first and second rounders just to get good players to plug in defense, they're not going to be anything spectacular, but they'll be solid. Then that's not helping you in the long run. That's just giving you a pass to me. It's giving you a reason not to be bad on defense. But special players make your defense great. Look at all the great defenses. There were special players that make your defense great. If you don't have one of those, then build the offense up and just go for it. I mean, that's what I would do. And I'm a fan, after seeing this, of a running back for the Lions, and maybe even they say tight end, but I just think develop what you got on offense. Get you another offensive lineman. Get you a running back that you can down-in, down-out running back to go with Jamal Williams. It's Swift if you got him around, but just be dominant on offense.
No, I don't disagree with that. When you say offensive line, look, the Lions have three Pro Bowl players who've made it to combine four times in the last 2 years. Their center, their left guard, and their right tackle all made the Pro Bowl in the last 2 years. And they've got a left tackle, and Taylor Decker, who is a really, really good player. It's kind of surprising that he hasn't made at least one Pro Bowl. And I think it's 7 years now he's been in the league. So that's really a strength. But I wouldn't, it wouldn't bother me in this draft in April if the Detroit Lions went for another offensive lineman in the draft, high in the draft, too. I mean, somebody just to build an absolute fortress out there with your offensive line. That would not bother me.
Yeah. And if you look at the game, Kansas City Chiefs offensive line was, besides Mahomes, was the star of that game because the vaunted Philadelphia pass rush, they didn't touch him. He made, no sacks. 70 sacks in the season, no sacks.
No tackles for loss.
Yeah.
You look at those, stuff that they put out at the end of the game, the score, I forget exactly what we call it, but there were no big plays by their defense, by the Eagles defense, absolutely none. No tackles for loss, no forced fumbles, no nothing. Now, he did have five quarterback hits, but you get credit for a hit just touching him after he releases
right.
the ball. But he certainly wasn't under any great pressure except for the one time he went down just before the end of the first half when there was some doubt, what was he going to be like when he came back, talking about Mahomes. Well, he was as good as ever, if not better than ever, in the second half.
Yeah. And that goes to my defensive philosophy. Again, I thought the Philadelphia defense was fundamentally sound all year. But who's their big dog on defense? Was it Hargrove? He's a good player. I wouldn't say he's a game plan around him. And Hassan Reddick, he's good. But he's not a Lawrence Taylor or something. To me, a great defense has a great player on it. And they didn't have one.
Well, Hassan Reddick had 16 sacks. I mean, here's the thing about their defense, the Eagles' defense, and I'm surprised the way they played or didn't play in the Super Bowl, but they had Hassan Reddick with 16 sacks, and then they had three other players, three other players with 11 each. Well, that's, you add that all up, that's almost 50 sacks among four people. Look, there are teams that don't have one player, one player with 11 sacks to lead their team. The Eagles had three players with 11 sacks to go with a leader with 16 and got nothing done in the Super Bowl. I mean, nothing.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you can take the stats of them if you want, but am I really scared on Saturday night about Hassan Reddick? No, I may be wrong, but wasn't he new to that team? Didn't he come from Arizona?
Yeah, came from Arizona.
Yeah, okay, yeah, this is the same guy in Arizona. Okay, he was a good player, no doubt, very good player. But I'm not losing sleep off playing him, and that was my point. They don't have one of those guys. Now, teams like the 49ers who have a Bosa or, these other teams, these defensive teams, the Khalil Mack in the former days, but guys like that, those to me make a defense because they make everybody else on the defense better. And I just thought that this was a one-off on Philly's defense. We'll see if they revert back next year or they keep their, defensive status up. But I saw the Lions put 35 up on them, and I saw Dallas put 40 up on them. I didn't think they were a great defense.
No, and here's another thing, too. You look at it, they were supposed to have the best offensive line in the league. Okay, great. What did they do running the ball?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Now, was that –
the quarterback got yards, but nobody else did.
Yeah, but was that the offensive line or the running back, too? I mean, like I said, didn't –
Well, it was more than – but of all the running backs they had, none of them averaged more than 3.5 yards per carry
right.
except for the quarterback.
Right.
And the other part of it was the pass protection and all that. They protected the quarterback just fine, but really they were not – In terms of running the ball, they got nothing done, and then just flip it to the other side. They led the league in sacks with 70 in the regular season and got none with the money on the line in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I didn't really see – I don't know how you saw it, but I didn't really see a real commitment to running the ball for Philly during that Super Bowl. Did you?
It didn't seem like it. They were pass-oriented.
Saying it wasn't really like a effort that we're going to just pound this ball at you for a while. And I thought that was a mistake because I thought they gave – because Kansas City's defense was not impressive either. Now, let's straighten that out there. They got an impressive player again. They had that great player, Jones, who could, you know, change things around. But their defense wasn't that impressive. But I just never saw Philly, besides the Hurts runs, really challenge, and Devontae Smith really challenge them, really, you know, just physically beat them. And that's what this Detroit Lions team, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, has going for them that I didn't see Philly or Kansas City really. They weren't – was either team physically dominant over the other one?
I don't think physically dominant, but if you're going to bring up coaching, there's one thing I believe this. I say this all the time. You are allowed to coach your team. You are allowed to coach your players. And I think that the Kansas City Chiefs won the battle of coaching. I think Andy Reid and his guys, what they did. Kenny, what about those two touchdown passes, one to the left, one to the right, when they got to caught them up in that motion, and they were wide open in the end zone for both?
No doubt.
I mean, wide open. And they were just – you get the ball on first down, they run a play. They run a play on second down, and it's just designed – you know, whatever, the only thing it was designed to do is so they could plot what they were going to do on third down, and both times on third down, they got touchdowns, left them staggering, you know, with their feet crossed because they couldn't cover them.
Well, Philly's coach has got to grow up. He up there giving fingers to the other team during the game, and Hurts trying to, you know, pull his hand down, and he's got to grow up. And maybe he'll get this as he gets wisdom, but he's too easily distracted with other stuff and all this stuff that goes on around football, not even at the Super Bowl Sunday, but just over the years he's like that. And I just think that he's got to grow up a little too. Like you said, instead of coaching Sunday, he was so worried, he was posturing to me, and Andy Reid's over there coaching, you know, so –
Well, you're right. You know what? He's answered any questions about him. That is a great coach. Really is.
And that's another one, too, man. In Philly, when he left Philly, man, after he got fired, you would have thought that he was persona non grata. It's just that sometimes you get in the right situation and you get the right players behind you, get the right quarterback and sees your vision. You know, I had Donovan McNabb, and now I got, you know, Patrick Mahomes. And look at it. Look at him fly, man.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
Now, that brings us to the Lions.
Yeah.
That brings us to the Lions.
And
a couple of rumors. First of all, this number six pick in the draft, we're going to talk about the free agency in a minute, but number six pick in the draft, it's getting interesting to me because the more of these mock drafts that are starting to come out and the more people are talking, Jason Lockham-Four saying he was at the Senior Bowl. And Jason Lockham-Four used to work here in Detroit. Now he writes for the Washington Post. He's on CBS. He said that he is convinced – that the Bears are going to trade Justin Fields, which means they're going to take a quarterback when they trade Fields. Don't know if it's true or not. Don't know if he's being fed a line. Don't care either way. But it does tell me one thing, that these quarterbacks are going to go off the board higher this year than they should go. And in those top 10 picks, there are four quarterbacks now, not the three that we always thought. Four quarterbacks are being talked about as top 10. I saw a draft today that had Anthony Richardson from Florida going before Will Levis from Kentucky. So people are starting to move him into that top group too. If there's four quarterbacks taking the top 10, the team that's going to take advantage of that is the Detroit Lions and the Seattle Seahawks, because they're going to be quarterbacks up top either for trade or getting pushed up and pushing down guys that the Lions could use, like Will Anderson and Carter from Georgia.
What? I think this, Kenny, and I've been working on my second mock draft here. I'll have a 10th mock draft when I finally get it right. But I think that the first five may not go in the same order on everybody's mock draft and the real draft, but pretty close. And it's going to be three quarterbacks and the two defensive linemen. I think that's almost a given. And that leaves the Lions in the sixth position. I mean, right now, they could just about plot what's going to be on their board. But I think it's going to be three quarterbacks off the board. And like I said, the two defensive linemen. And the Lions, take your pick right now. You got the rest of the board.
Yeah, if it goes that way. If it goes that way,
well,
you're right.
I think it will. I really do. I look at a lot of mock drafts and I, you know, massage my own the best I can. And everybody seems, I shouldn't say everybody, but the vast majority, probably more than I've ever seen it, is convinced it's going to be what I said, those three quarterbacks and then two defensive linemen.
If that third quarterback is off the board before six and one of those quarterbacks is left, I guarantee you the Lions are going to have offers up to Kazuzzi for that pick because nobody was going to be left out. Look at the quarterbacks from last year. Pickett who was a marginal first rounder at best, went in the middle of the first round just because there was no other quarterback to take. And Pittsburgh just decided, look, we got to have something next year. So they moved him up. And he had a decent season, not going to argue that, but he definitely was pushed up, Mike, because just there's no quarterbacks out there.
I think the only question in this year's draft early in the first round is, I think the Alabama quarterback will go number one, but I think the only debate next is who will be the second quarterback taken. Will it be Sproud from Ohio State, or will it be Levis from Kentucky? It's going to be one of those two, and then we'll get into the rest of the draft.
I'm going to predict right now, and you can come back to this podcast if everybody's listening, homie. I predict that Richardson is going to be the second quarterback taken. Don't ask me why right now. I'm going to tell you why. Because of the Super Bowl Sunday and Hurt. And players like Hurt, that now everybody wants one. It's like the toy in the store that one kid on the block brings it out, everybody got to go ask their mother to go get them one. They want the dual threat guy now. He is the dual threat guy of those four. And everybody's going to think, that can be my Hurt. That can be my Lamar Jackson. Let me go get him. He's big. This guy's big. If that happens and he's pushed up into that three you're talking about, Mike, oh, man. Oh, if he gets pushed up into that top 10 or even top five, first of all, it's a risk and risk because he's not a great quarterback right now. I've watched him play. He's not ready at all. But physically, he's what you're looking for. If they push him up because of that, Lions will sit in the catbird seat because you're going to have offers galore for that fourth quarterback.
And I'll tell you what, there's also a push for a couple of offensive tackles too. You know, Peter,
the one from Ohio State, Johnson.
Paris Johnson, and the other one from Northwestern.
Right, and offensive lineman is always one taken in the top 10. One always slips in.
It just
happens. Back to the field situation. I know it's a long shot, and I know Jason Lockenfora has a lot of wrong things he said or whatever. But you know what, Mike? I believe that, and I believe that Chicago's going to take Justin Fields because there was
they're
going to trade him. I mean, they're going to trade Justin Fields. I do believe they're going to take Bryce Young because when it all comes out, Bryce Young, besides the size, has everything else. And like I said, we had smaller quarterbacks. You just got to protect them. Can't have them running around. But I've seen that kid, and that kid he's got everything. He's even a better thrower than a lot of bigger guys. I mean, bigger arm. He has a bigger arm than a lot of guys. He's a great football player. Size is the only thing we're looking at, and I think they'll overlook that because he can play. Now, if that happens and Fields goes, just say he does go, Chicago keeps number one Bryce Young, which for the Lions, Bryce Young to me is going to go number one, whoever has the pick.
No matter, whoever has the pick is going to take him. I agree with that.
But moving Hurt out of the division, I'm fine with that too. I'm fine with either one, either way they want to do it, if they want to move. But if they move Hurt out, they'll get a lot back for him too.
Move who?
I mean Fields out. I'll get these two people. If they move Fields out, they'll get a lot for him. You know, either draft picks and players or whatever. The Jets will be looking for a quarterback. Atlanta will be looking for a quarterback to send him home. They'll get picks.
I think the Jets will be looking for a quarterback. They can't waste any more time. Their fans, after 56 years, they're finally getting fed up with a team not winning a Super Bowl.
Well, I think the Jets are all in on the Aaron Rodgers. They're going out
probably,
for him. But if you see them make a move, now David Carr, who was released this week, he's free to sign right now.
Now, yeah, you're absolutely right. So he could be signing as we speak.
Yeah, so if the Jets, this will tell you how good the Aaron Rodgers thing is. I don't think the Jets are going to wait around for Aaron Rodgers if he's given a sign, if he's out of his cave, his four-day cave visit or whatever. If he looks like he's not going to want to go, they're going to move on. And I'm just wondering, would they sign Carr that quick or would they wait for the draft?
Or Garoppolo. I don't think their coaching staff, front office, whatever, I don't think they can wait to develop a draft pick. I think they need a veteran quarterback who can play from day one. And they just don't have the time to waste time.
Well, then it's either Carr or Rodgers.
Probably.
Of the two to me. But like I said, you can't wait around. You got to find out what Rodgers' deal is. Otherwise, Carr is going to sign with somebody else if that's your backup.
Right. But that doesn't you know, that doesn't mean that you can't get outbid too and get a better deal from somebody else.
Yeah.
In terms of draft picks and, you know, players and what else goes into it.
But if you want to win, for the Jets want to win, I mean, if you want to win in your quarterback, the Jets' situation to me is perfect. Great defense. All they're looking for is a quarterback.
Got a running back. They've
yep.
got a,
they got everything.
Wide receiver. Yeah.
Got everything.
They really do.
So that goes with that. Referring to the Lions now, and before we get to the Lions, before I get to the free agency part of the Lions and the draft, we already talked about the draft. Coach Montgomery, the running back coach, who last week we were lauding as a good yeah. get from him, he's interviewing for the offensive coordinator positions already. He interviewed with Tampa for, I mean, did he even make it to the office with the key before they start looking for another job?
You know, I'm sure he had the okay from the, you know, from the you know, Dan Campbell and whoever else, that if this, you know, presented itself, he had the opportunity.
Sure.
To, but it's a strange one for me. You
yeah.
know?
Well, there's 11 really people is. That have interviewed, so it's not like they are looking for him, at least right now. He's one of 11, but I'm just saying it's just funny that, and I'm sure he probably had the interview set up before he took the Lions job too. So probably, like you said, they said he told him, you know, I'm looking at offensive coordinator job, but if I don't get it, I'm happy to come. And they said, okay. And it's the running back coach. I'm sorry, but it's not the offensive coordinator position we're talking about here, people. There's about 20 off running back coaches you could get, and you'd be just fine.
Right. Well, that's the running backs coach. Nothing against Deuce Staley. I love them, but it's the running back. It's not the running backs
right.
coach.
Right. Now, running backs coach, you're running back. Mike O'Hare, free agency's coming. There's some backs out there that you could just pay for free. As running backs, Jacobs from Oakland or Vegas,
yeah.
Saquon Barkley. There's a few. I was looking at some of the draft things they're talking about. They're saying that this draft is loaded with running backs. I think it was Daniel
absolutely
Jeremiah
is.
Or something said
yeah.
that.
Yep.
A lot
absolutely
of backs.
Yeah.
I think they're going to take a back in the draft. It's just a matter of when. Because, like you said, this is the last year for Swift if they don't trade him. And I'm not saying I heard he was being traded, but I just got a feeling that that's a marriage that's not long, that either
well,
he's going to do his contract and go, or you're going to get rid of him this year. Was it me, Michael? I didn't get the coaching staff feeling him.
I don't know about that, but the thing is, he's got 3 years now, and he's had limited production all 3 years. Look, when he's got the ball in his hands, he's really a threat, but it's not there often enough. He's not healthy enough. He doesn't go the distance. And that, you know, he happened again this year. Had a great start, and you know what? Barely played in the second game. And it was that way all, you know, throughout the season, right to the 17th game. And look, he made a couple of, you know, just big-time plays against the Steelers. I'm not the Steelers, against the Packers in the last game of the season. And, you know, it's the way he started and the way he finished. But in between, you know, he was missing in action a lot.
Yeah, and
couldn't hang in there.
No, and like I say, he started with that 150-yard day or close to whatever it was. I can't remember the exact amount, but he just can't stay on the field. And I'm just
right.
saying, even when you heard the coaches talk about him toward the end of the season and the things they would say, it's just to me that it was what they didn't say, not what they said. You know, a back with that talent, you would hear so much. That's our feature back. We got to get him back in. We can't wait to get him back in. He's going to be healthy. We're going to get him in. We're going to make him a focal point of the offense. You just never heard it. Well, he's out this week, and when he's back, he'll be okay.
Yeah.
And then they didn't give him a lot of work when he came back. And for the stats he got with the numbers that he actually ran and, you know, received, he had great stats, but 5 carries a game here, whatever. You can't live like that. That's why they got to get him back this offseason. If they're going to bring Williams back as one, he's what he is, but he's not your star back to me. He's the complimentary back. They need a back.
No, I agree, but what they got from him, what they got from Jamal Williams, that was, first of all, nobody could have projected that he would score 17 touchdowns, but that was one of the most, you know, productive seasons in franchise history when you think about it. That wasn't Barry Sanders. I get it. It wasn't Billy Sims. But on its own little niche, that was a tremendous, tremendous year by Jamal Williams.
Yep. All right, so before we close up, the last thing about free agency, which I guess they're going to be tagging guys next week, and everybody will be talking about who the free agents are that will be available.
Right.
One position, Mike, right now, that I got to spend the bulk of my free agent money on, or I'm going to make one big splash, and then I'm going to fill in a couple other players. What position are you going for?
What am I going for?
What position should they address first?
Well, let me ask you this first before we do that. Are you more interested in the players of your own that you want to bring back or the ones you want to bring in?
The ones you want to bring in. There's not a player that's free agent now that I have to have back. There's not one.
Reggie White. Yeah, there's no Reggie White.
Right. Well, there's no player on my team now that's a free agent that if they're back, I'm happy with it, but I don't. It's not one I have to. Oh, I got to get him. I got to sign. I can't let him go. Not one.
Well, I think they're better off with C.J. Chark than they are without him. So I would think he would be a priority, but not an absolute gotta have.
30 catches.
Well,
three touchdowns.
This production when he was on the field is what we're talking about.
I'm just saying, but he's got that ankle problem. That's a problem he's had for more than one year now. Is that going to be a factor where he's going to miss games over years? I mean,
we'll see.
Well, you got to go with – I'm saying when you're trying to sign him right now, you can only go by the record that you're being given. And right now the record is he misses games because of his ankle.
Yeah, he started strong.
Right. And that was in Jacksonville, and that's here in Detroit. That's why they let him go. So – if I got to put my money on, I got a reasonable contract for him. It's a good money for you. But if you're looking for the bag and to break the bank, if he's gone, I can replace 30 catches and three touchdowns.
I'm going to have to look that up to see if that's accurate.
I can replace that. I can find a person to do that. So, but like I said, I want him back. But if he goes, okay. That just happened.
Okay, a guy I want back, John Kaminsky.
Okay. Again, very good lineman. If he goes.
I don't want him back.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sure he'll be brought back at a representative level. John Kaminsky.
Well, my thing is I want them to sign a defensive tackle. I want them to get the tackle in free agency rather than the draft. Because – and then I would still draft – if Jalen Carter's there and that's six and that's the guy, I would take him too. But I want to get a tackle right now for sure, play in the league. I will spend my money on and knowing that he's going to be the guy that I'm looking for to do that. Because that's the one thing they're missing next to McNeil is that tackle. So that's what I'm signing. Cornerbacks and whatever, I'll get some fringe guys or whatever, do like I did last year, draft a couple in the draft and go on from there. Because to me – your defensive line is going to make your cornerbacks anyway.
I don't disagree with that. I agree with the defensive tackle. But the free agent to bring in would be a defensive tackle if everything is equal. Now, he's got to be available, too.
Yeah, he's got to be available. Got to be available.
I'm not going to sign one just to sign one.
No, but there's guys like Hargrove out there,
yeah.
The one from Philly out there. Right now, Payne from Washington is going to be out there. I don't think they're going to franchise him. There's guys out there. I don't know why I keep getting Vita Vey in my mind. Maybe it's because something you told me the other day, but it's another tackle out there. Vita Vey. But Trey Lyons, Vita Vey. But there's other tackles out there that you can get, but I want to do that. And then we'll move on from there, but that's my pick. So, all right, Mike, we've talked enough. I'm going to wrap it up here. We'll talk some more as free agency comes close and the coaching changes to be done. One last thing about coaching. Eric Bieniemy again with no job. Both Philadelphia coordinators and on losing team get a job. Yep. Winning Super Bowl guy for the second time now. Still hasn't got a job. He's interviewing for offensive coordinator spots now. Is it something to worry about? And I'll get into the black coaches thing later on. I don't want to get into that right now. I'm just saying in this one case, Eric Bieniemy. Is it something we should be worried about, or is it just this is just an individual case where maybe something's not clicking, and that's just the way it is?
It can't be just that's the way it is. I don't buy that. You know, I really don't. I just don't. I don't see if what he's accomplished, you know, with and he and Andy Reid together. What he's accomplished certainly blows away anything that those two guys from the Eagles have accomplished or not accomplished. And yet they've got jobs as head coaches. I mean, my God, it seemed like they had a helicopter waiting for him on the playing field right after the game. Couldn't get him back, you know, back to their place fast enough. So I don't know. It doesn't sound good. It doesn't look good. And you know what? it ain't right.
No. And again, I'm going to get to this thing where everybody talking about, well, why coaches should be hired on their merit and we shouldn't be talking about black and white or whatever, which is fine if you believe that, if you believe that's what it is. But then don't give me that these two coordinators, one of them who was a quality assistant 3 years ago, now is a head coach. If you want to put qualifications up, they don't match. So there's more than just they're taking the most qualified people. So next time people start saying that, look at who got the jobs and look at their qualifications, then you have things you can talk about. It's just sometimes it's you're just not going to get hired, or sometimes people are going to hire who they want. But you don't. Nobody yells about that. You know, they yell when you say that it's not fair. Well, you're being racist or what? No, I'm just telling you like it is, that it's not always the time that the best guy gets the job. So just don't keep saying that. These two prove my point, because both of them are young, inexperienced, and were losers. And got jobs. Frank Wright got fired, and 6 months, 3 months later, he's got another job right away. Might be a good coach. I don't have a problem with him. I'm just saying, you can't say Jim Caldwell had a winning record, loses his job, doesn't have a job. Frank Wright loses a job, 3 months later, he's back in another job.
Jim Caldwell has been a head coach seven years in the National Football League, 3 years with the Colts, 4 years with the Detroit Lions. He's had 5 winning records and 4 playoff appearances.
That's it.
And so, coached again.
All right. So
has not been a head coach again.
Right. That's a bigger story than we'll talk about today. But I'm just putting it out there that all these absolute statements people make, just watch your statements and look at the facts and then make your own judgment if you're being honest with yourself. And that's all I'm going to say. So, Mike, that's it for today. We'll have another one in the future. Next week, we can do it next week. Why not? We'll talk some more about the Lions impending free agency and draft talk. I'm sure by then it will be heated up. Maybe Carr will have signed by then, so we'll have some of the quarterback dominoes falling. Maybe Aaron Rodgers, when he comes out of his cave, will find a team, find enlightenment in what team he's going to play for, or will he be back with the Packers? We'll see.
And don't forget, we have the NBA All-Star game ahead of us.
That's right. That's right. All right, Michael here at DetroitLions.com. Ken Brown, WJR Radio. Have a good day.